There's a thousand further women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Katz with the Dish. This is John Katzalamidis. I write the Katz Report, which appears in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, and on those websites, lasvegassun.com, lasvegasweekly.com. I also write for The Sunday, which is our news magazine. It comes out on the Sunday, except when it comes out on the Saturday, and occasionally on the Monday. Joining me this week, first in lieu of Trish McCrone, who's in Montana, and she's due to be back sometime in January of 2016. Can't wait for her to return. She's they're snowed in and migrained in and everything else with the Newtons up there at their cabin off Flathead Lake, which is a beautiful place, unless you're in Las Vegas. Joining me this week is a dear friend of mine, a man I really respect as a person, as an artist. His band is one of the great bands in the West, if not anywhere else, and they're back at Cabaret Jazz on Monday night. That's January 11th. Welcome, my buddy, Jerry Lopez of Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns.
Hi, John.
How you doing, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me.
All right.
I'm a poor substitute for Trish Dish, I'll tell you what.
Well, she would be the second person to say that.
I thought
that.
She was going to be here. That's really I like you. I enjoy talking to you. But
you can talk to me anytime. This will be a stag. Right. We'll do a men's stag here today.
All right.
Jerry, we just saw you recently at Cabaret Jazz.
Yeah.
Recently. It was on the 28th of December.
Correct.
And real quickly, like within a couple of days, I started hearing about another gig that you guys were going to do at Cabaret Jazz. Why so fast? And
well,
what sparked all this?
The last show sold out very quickly.
Mm-hmm. No surprise there.
And it was interesting because a lot of the audience that night were people who had never seen us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Cabaret Jazz and the Smith Center in general has a different demographic of folks who maybe don't come out to the casinos where we played.
Right.
And a lot of them were suddenly, you know, they became fans and they were like, we need to tell our friends to come and on and on. So we did have this. Right now we've got a contract at the South Point Casino where we're working.
Right.
But we did have this coming Monday off. And so we were all so happy about the outcome of our show on the 28th that we just threw it out there. We said, you know what, since it sold out so quickly, maybe we, you know, let's see how it goes. You know, Glenn Midas and Myron Martin over at the Smith Center were, you know, they were like, well, what do you think, Jerry? I said, I have no idea, but let's give it a shot.
When you're talking about the fans who turned out at Cabaret Jazz, and I was in that crowd, and I sat with your buddy and a mutual friend, Clint Holmes, that night, and we're looking around that room, and I was very aware that these were new people.
Yeah.
These were not the people we've seen at South Point and for a long time at the Palms, too.
Right.
That's something you could read from the stage, right?
Sure.
And you built a set list I thought that was very interesting that night,
mm-hmm.
at least in my view, having seen the band so many times. It had a lot of nuance to it.
Mm-hmm.
Was that... why did you decide on
that?
That
was like fishing a new lake. Okay, John? The fishermen out there will understand me, or a new stream.
That's why you came out in waders.
I'm a fly fisherman.
Okay.
So here was the thing. I kind of knew that this was going to be a new crowd. And so I wanted to make it a diverse set. I wanted to make it a set that would cover the spectrum of the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
We did everything from funk to flamenco and country to classic rock. Okay?
Right. Well, you threw in Van Morrison. I hadn't heard.
Right.
It was Moondance, right?
Moondance.
I don't think that I've heard that song,
mm-hmm.
At least in shows that I can recall, ever from Santa
that's
Fe.
That's an arrangement that my friend Tom Scott, who I worked in his band for years, did for
the Blues Brothers band.
That's right.
Tom Scott.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Tom Scott.
Mm-hmm. LA Express.
LA Express. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome arrangement, right? It's a lot of fun. It's a great song. And it's got, that has a, like a big band field.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do some things that kind of, that covered what we do that's kind of big band, that's kind of salsa, that's kind of funk, that's rock, that's pop. You know, we did a couple of ballads in the set, which generally we'll do one.
Mm-hmm. Yours was one of them.
Yeah.
Was Ray Isis?
Yeah.
Was the song?
We did Let Me Come Back Home.
Let Me Come Back Home. Okay.
And, and then Tony did You Don't Know Me,
mm-hmm.
old Ray Charles
right.
song. But, yeah, that's what that was. This coming Monday, the set's going to be lean a little more towards what we usually do, but it'll still have so the idea is for me to give them enough covers so that their palate is satisfied, right?
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
The audience.
I want to give them a comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll give them some of the stuff they've never heard, the original stuff from our
right.
CDs.
And it gives you some breadth to do a lot of solo work, too.
Yeah.
You guys do
yeah.
Are known for solos. Everyone yeah. in that band plays a solo.
And you know what the thing is and it's funny because I've been giving this a lot of thought lately. You know, we started the band so that we could have a ball playing.
Mm-hmm.
All of us play in the business. We're all, you know, playing in shows and doing different things.
There's nobody in the band who that's their only thing, right? Everybody's
no.
got an outside.
Everybody's yeah. got mm-hmm. a, yeah. And so, but generally in the shows that and the other things that we're doing, we're not expressing ourselves musically the way that we would
mm-hmm.
want to, right?
Right.
Which is what Santa Fe's for.
Uh-huh.
So we designed that so that we could do our thing, so we could express ourselves, so we could, which, you know, because we've got so many creative and wonderful soloists, we want to give everybody a chance to say something musically,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Now, that's well and good for a jazz audience.
Right.
Not always so much for the hardcore, you know, pop, funk, rock audience.
Mm-hmm.
And our music can go directly from something you recognize to, you know, Spinal Tap Freeform Jazz mm-hmm. Odyssey.
The fairground show.
Anyway, but I've been giving this a lot of thought, and I'm thinking, okay, so it's interesting. The more popularity that we've gained, right, the more that the group has expanded and that things have happened, we've built up this audience. And you know, I'm starting to get pulled in an interesting direction. Like, do we change what our... You know, do we change the paradigm of what we designed for what we wanted the band to be
mm-hmm.
to satisfy the fan or to satisfy the, you know?
Well, this is an unlike, as many venues as you guys have played over the years, this is an unlike venue in that it was really expressly built for a stage performance to be, I mean, I feel like everywhere you've been has been kind of in and out loungy, you
mm-hmm.
know, kind of you've been a free show for a long
right.
time. This is a ticketed show. People come and sit down and watch you for 90 minutes.
Right.
That's got to feel different, and it has to affect everything that you do on stage, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And, you know, it is cabaret jazz.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? I'm good with that. the band has played, we've played jazz festivals. Now at the South Point, we're playing a main showroom. The Palms was a lounge,
mm-hmm.
a very intimate, close lounge. In each one of those situations, we approach it differently, and it happens reflexively. We
mm-hmm.
our reflexes, our musical reflexes, our entertainer reflexes, right?
Mm-hmm.
How we work the stage and how we work the audience, and what you're looking at is hundreds of years of experience on that stage of guys who've been doing it their whole lives.
Yeah, and a lot of them are multi-generational
exactly.
musicians. You,
that's right.
Somebody like Danny Falcone.
That's
I mean,
right.
You go right down the list. There.
That's right.
In their DNA.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like fishing. It's
yeah.
like, okay, so you throw this out there, and are they biting? Are they not biting? And they bite big. And so, you know, I've got a set list, but I can change course at any time if it's not happening.
When you came off the stage on the 28th, I don't think we had a chance to talk much.
Nope.
I mean, there was a lot of,
yeah.
you know, kinetic energy and people wanting to meet you and friends mm-hmm. wanting to reconnect. Did you think you were going to play there again? And did you think you'd play there that soon? Just that night, the vibe right after that show?
I knew we'd play there again.
Mm-hmm.
We had been apprehensive about going in there before. I had been. I won't say we because I had been. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm always real. Like I tell you, we started the band as a thing that we want to do it the way we want to do it. And for me, it's always, how is it going to sound? For me, it's what's going to be the experience for the listener, for the
right.
person that buys the ticket, right? And I was always concerned because the first time I saw the room, the stage was a little smaller. And it looked like a very live room in terms of the reflective surfaces in the room, pedestrian speak, it's kind of, I thought it was going to be kind of echoey
yeah.
in there.
Okay? I remember this is your first
yeah.
comments about
only
jazz.
Because
of,
you know, and I can, I, I'm, you know, I'm also an engineer and a producer and all of these things, and so I kind of understand psychoacoustics a little bit. And just by looking at a room or clapping my hands in the middle of the room, I can kind of tell what's going to happen with sound in the room.
Was the first time you were in that room was it alone, or was there an audience in there?
No, it was alone, and mm-hmm. I was just given a tour of the whole place before it even opened.
Okay.
And so I was just a little worried about that. I also at the same time knew, though, that if the room was full of people, that completely changes the acoustics in the room.
Right.
And they've made some changes since the first time that I saw it for the better. And we used a couple of tricks to stop it, a lot of that echo or reverb or whatever. You know, we played at minimal volumes. We used a plexiglass shield around the drummer. We did different things. Bottom line is, forget about all that. It felt really good on stage. It sounded really good from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction from the people, we can usually tell what it's like out in the house just from the reaction of the people. So right off the bat, I was like, this is good. This mm-hmm. is going to work.
Right away.
Right away. And the fact that we had sold it out and everybody had smiles on their faces, we got standing ovations, and everybody hung around to meet the band. And I knew that we would do it again. I didn't know how, when, or whatever. But like I say, the fact that we had this window of this other Monday, and we're really kind of tossing the dice. We don't know what's going to happen. But,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here. Okay. I want to talk to you more about the room, especially, Jerry. We're going to take a quick break here. This is John Katzlamitas, Cats with a Dish, with the great Jerry Lopez of Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns. Catch them Monday night at 10:30 at Cabaret Jazz. That's January 11th. We're going to come back with him shortly. But first, it's Josh Bell and movies. So stick around. I know we will.
My boy, and he took him from me, you understand? He's afraid. He knows how far I came to find him.
That's Leonardo DiCaprio as frontiersman Hugh Glass in The Revenant. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. The latest from Birdman director Alejandro G. Iñárritu is similarly showy and self-important, although it does feature some impressively intense moments. After being mauled by a bear and left for dead, Glass makes his way back to civilization in order to enact revenge. At more than 2.5 hours, the movie drags as Glass grunts his way through the wilderness, and its eventual climax is disappointing after all that both Glass and the audience have endured. I give The Revenant 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the horror movie The Forest, starring Natalie Dormer of Game of Thrones.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
We were walking that way.
No, we weren't.
Yes, we were. 2 minutes ago, we were walking that way, and now you're leading me back the way we came.
No, Sarah. We're following the river down, remember?
Set in a Japanese nature preserve that's a notorious spot for suicides, The Forest has thematic potential. But once Dormer's concerned American enters the woods in search of her missing twin sister, the movie turns into a generic haunted forest story with a series of banal jump scares and pale apparitions. It takes a premise full of potential resonance about depression and suicide and uses it to deliver empty schlock. I give The Forest 2 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with me still is Jerry Lopez of Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns, performing Monday at 10:30 p.m. at Cabaret Jazz at the Smith Center for the Performing Arts. The band's back for the second time, as we've been talking about, in less than 3 weeks. And, you know, when we talked early on, Jerry, about the band and the Smith Center, Santa Fe being an institution and the Smith Center being a new institution in Las Vegas, you know, it seemed like it had to happen at some point. And there was this great deal of – I felt like there was a little bit of a tug of war or give and take between you and the officials there about when it would happen and how it would happen and, you know, maybe not tug of war, but just some lingering discussion about all the things we've been talking about. And the room – I felt like on the official side, they were saying once that your initial response was that there were some sound concerns about the room, that they kind of laid off the gas. They kind of came away from it and started booking other acts in the room before coming back to you and reintroducing that conversation. How did it work for you? Was there a real latent period where this wasn't even on your radar for a long time, a booking like this?
Yeah, it really wasn't on my radar for several reasons. You know, we were a free show for a long time,
mm-hmm.
which we like, you know,
yeah.
It's fine.
Pre-admission.
And then we were, we charged, you know, $10 and venues, $5, different things. So I like the idea of making it really affordable for people to come in. But, and I know that it kind of, in a sense, it almost undervalues what we're doing. We're a 15-piece
yeah.
band that you can't see anything like this. I don't know where you can.
Okay? You can't. And I bring right. people to your show. This hits to a point I was going to make. I bring people from out of the area who mm-hmm. are music lovers or even musicians, producers
right.
I brought to Santa Fe.
Right.
And we walk into the room. Now, you know, I lead a blessed existence because I get to go in no matter what the cover is anyway. But yeah. At the time, it was free.
Yeah.
The days at the Trop, you know, mm-hmm. when we'd go in there, it was a $5 mm-hmm. cover or whatever. And they're like, how in the world does this happen? This band, which is as good, I mean, telling people saying it's as good as Tower of Power, mm-hmm. and they're performing for free. And is there a concern that you are undervaluing the whole experience?
Well, that
right?
you know, that's one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about.
Right.
And so for that reason, I guess I didn't really, you know, I think I've thought about this in maybe too much of a dreamer way, right? Where it's like, I do this for my personal healing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really do it for money, and I don't.
Uh-huh.
But there is that thing about, and I'm like this. I'll go somewhere. I'll give you an example. I just bought a motorcycle helmet, okay?
Okay.
And the style of helmet I was looking at, I didn't even want to look at the ones that were under a certain price because I know that that you get what you pay for
uh-huh.
most of the time. I mean, when we're talking about clothes or uh-huh. we talk about, you get what you pay for.
Right.
And sometimes when you get something, you even look at something and it's got that price, I don't want it. I'm even like that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm not a great shopper.
You can afford it. Yeah.
But
well, that's the barometer. I mean,
that's
yeah.
the way I am. Uh-huh. So I'm, you know, I start thinking about that. So maybe that was one of the issues with the. Mm-hmm. But let me say this: at the end of the day, a gentleman walked up to me at the end of the show and he said, "Jerry," he said, "there is something magical about this room." And when he said that to me, I knew exactly what he was saying because I felt the same thing. There's something going on in that room that really is magical.
You're talking about the cabaret?
Smith Center, yeah.
The Smith Center, okay.
The cabaret.
Because yeah. you guys are bringing that kind of vibe everywhere you've been.
Yeah, we...
But the room is yeah, pretty special.
So mm-hmm. yeah, we, you know, we bring our... We there's a lot of love on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
For people that haven't seen us, all of us on the stage really like each other. That's why the music is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of drips out into the audience, and it becomes this back and forth, this little dance that we do between the audience's energy and our energy. But there was something magical in that room that night.
Yeah, some of your guys have been in there before. Tony had sung in there
with
before.
Tyreek
with the Lon's band, Lon Bronson All-Star Band, yeah. which was the first band of that type to be mm-hmm. in that room, which kind of helped everybody kind of figure out.
And also that, for me, too, it was mm-hmm. kind of, oh, so Lon's band was in there. Okay, mm-hmm. good. Okay, well, that means that if there were kinks that had to get worked out, they worked them out.
Yeah, and it's a similar type of, yeah. you know, classification of a band,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of horns and,
yeah.
you know, powerful singing.
Yeah, a lot of singing, a lot of horns, mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of bodies.
Yeah.
And so if they had room for that,
yeah.
right?
And Perico brought in
that's right.
Pop Evolution,
Dave Perico.
22 pieces.
That's right now, you mm-hmm. know. Once I knew they had done those shows and they were able to handle that stage-wise and sound-wise and gear. And, you know, the sound and light people there were just absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say and, you know, we're real critical about that stuff. Like I say, what's important to me is the experience for the person that's sitting at the table or in the, you know, booth or whatever. And they were fantastic. It was just really one of the easiest, most painless and gratifying experiences for us.
Yeah, and it showed. It resonated. And I can't wait to see the show again on Monday night. What is it like in the face of your doing this gig in the face of your gig at the South Point. Mm-hmm. That's a big room,
yeah,
and that's a whole different scene. Mm-hmm. A lot more people, at least probably double the capacity of what the Smith Center has and what the Lounge of the Palms has around yeah. that. What is how's that gig going, and what and how does that play into your strategy for cabaret jazz?
Well, there's no strategy.
All right.
We get together on Monday night and throw down some helium. I'm
giving you too much credit as a band leader.
Way too much credit. No strategy. So the South Point, that's another venue that's amazing because the sound is awesome. The lighting is awesome. The management and everybody have been incredible, and they're promoting us. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it's like it's a different experience, though. It's not as intimate as the, you know, because it is a much bigger room, right?
Right.
So in that room, if we don't have at least 250 people, it seems like there's not very many people in the room.
Yeah, and how's that been doing? You know, I haven't been over there every Monday night.
Yeah.
The first couple nights was burning up. The last time I went there was a little thin.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Well, it's been kind of the same way. It bounces between, you know, between really good and like you say, the audience that looks thin is about 200 people,
mm-hmm.
which is still
yeah.
more than we would get at the Palms, and
right.
which would, you know, almost fill up the Cabaret
it's
Jazz.
Funny because Palms and the Lounge at the Palm, the Palms Lounge and Cabaret Jazz are about the same actual capacity. They're so different in their
yeah.
layout.
So different, yeah.
yeah
and you know, it's all good for us. For us, it's like. I just love playing to enthusiastic audiences.
Mm-hmm.
If people are, you know, it's really great. A lot of times, like, for example, at the South Point, and same thing at the Cabaret Jazz, a lot of people that haven't seen us, I love to play to those people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right, I know.
I love to watch the surprise,
mm-hmm.
and the, you know.
Kissy people be indoctrinated.
Yeah, the baptism. Mm-hmm.
I love taking people there for the first
yeah.
time, too, and watching, you know, the first plan.
Yeah.
And they're like, ho, ho.
Yeah.
And then you get to tell them about the stories about everybody
right.
in the band.
Now, the beautiful thing about the jazz cabaret is that it's not a 21 and above
mm-hmm.
only room.
Right.
Which is awesome. And so I'm reaching out to our educators in the city, you know, at... here at the university
mm-hmm.
and
through the school district,
yeah, and the Las Vegas Academy,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera. I think we may even do a sort of a workshop or something on Monday, one of these places with some of the guys. We're just talking about it this morning, but we want to give an opportunity to some of the youth that wouldn't normally get in to see us to come and feel that.
What a treat that would be.
Well, I'm just offering it out there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and.
Well, Myron Martin's all about that. They
yeah,
do a lot of stuff in the big room, in the
yeah.
dance hall for kids.
You know, I want to reach out to them. I want to give. There was a couple of young people that are musicians and in the audience, and they were dazzled.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we saw the father, Mundo, and his
yeah,
son.
Yeah, little
son
Mundo.
Little Mundo's first
they,
time.
I got a text later that night. They said, little Mundo went home and started practicing.
Mundo.
1 a.m. and he had his guitar out.
Mundo Giuliarat? Is that it?
Yeah, Giuliarat. Yeah.
He is a musician in the Le Rev band, and his son was able to see the band for the first time
yeah.
as a teenager.
So,
and he's wearing a Beatles t-shirt.
That's
God,
right.
I wanted to hug him.
And that's
I mean,
why, you know, we did come together. We did
mm-hmm.
the Beatles tune in that set because I knew he was a Beatles fan. And so they, you know.
How many songs have you guys mastered? Do you know? I mean, is there even?
Our book, probably we have, I don't know, 50 to 60 songs.
Right.
And, you know, over the last few years, it's been more and more of the original stuff. We're trying to go in that direction.
You're going to do mostly originals Monday, do you think?
No, it'll be about the same blend. It'll be 60-40 or 50-50.
Even your covers are not quite like covers. That's
no.
the thing about this.
Yeah, because if you're just doing covers like covers, you're like a lounge band.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we'll do is we'll take a really interesting or just one of our favorite cover songs and turn it inside out.
Mm-hmm. Come Together being one of them.
Come Together,
and
you know.
Your medley of
Earth, Wind,
and Fire.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we'll do like Use Me Up by Bill Withers.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And or Living for the City by Stevie Wonder, you know.
Yeah.
And people have never heard him this way.
Do you have any plans for any guest stars or anybody to come up on Monday night? You pulled Mundo up the other night.
Yeah, right? no plans at all.
Just eyeball the audience?
Yeah, we're just going to check it out. You know, there may be a last minute something because there's always that with our band, mm-hmm. you know, depending on who's in town from a big act or you know, we'll kind of play that by ear.
You know what? Our friend Frankie Moreno has been in that room quite a bit and does really well in there.
Yeah.
And he's got I think it's going to be monthly on Tuesdays, no matter what happens with him. And I'm thinking that Santa Fe could find a routine. You guys could almost toggle, mm-hmm. conceivably, a Smith Center night once a month, mm-hmm. and three at the South Point.
That's a possibility. I'm totally
open. What would prevent
you
from doing that? I mean,
nothing. We're just going to play this by ear and see how this rolls out. Mm-hmm. We're in the courting phase, you know, right?
Still.
But I have to tell you, I have a long and really good relationship with Myron Martin, mm-hmm. and with Glenn Midas.
Yep.
And
they've been around for a long time.
We go way, way back, all of us. And mm-hmm. so we respect each other professionally and as on a personal level. And so it's just a matter of, does this work for everybody? Does this, you know, is this something good? And does the audience, you know, are mm-hmm. they digging it?
It's funny because Myron and I went on a little bit of a world tour when they were trying first booking Cabaret Jazz upon the opening. And we went to your show at the Palms, yeah. originally, one of the first ones. Everybody we went to is booked in the room. Right. And we were in there watching, and he's a huge fan anyway. And it's hard mm-hmm. to get Myron out late at, you know, on a Monday night. So it was quite an achievement. But I was watching him. He was nodding his head to the music, but he was looking around the room and nodding his head. And he was looking at every face. And he came up, and I can't remember the number. I think he said 198 at the end of it. He said, 198. Mm-hmm. And he was counting the people he thought paid to see you that night. And he was doing the math and working out financially while enjoying the show.
Yeah, he's a musician and a businessman.
Yeah,
you know.
It was all happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And I was thinking then that it would be only a matter of time. Mm-hmm. Before you guys came in.
Yeah, well, we're really happy. And I know, you know, a lot of people have talked to us about it. And a lot of the guys in the band have been wanting to do it for a while. Mm-hmm. So if we can pull this off and get in some of those young people, mm-hmm. you know, and turn this into like that kind of a situation where, I mean, you know, the regular, I'm sure they have their mailing list, the Smith Center, and people who generally attend mm-hmm.
their
functions
donors.
There. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For them, and if we could, like you said, start some sort of a program where maybe we could do, you know, master class or a seminar or a workshop and invite somebody. We've got amazing young talents in the city mm-hmm. and have them come. I remember some of the experiences that I had as a young man, you know, where I was, you know, baptized by, you know, B.B. King's band in the lounge at the Hilton when I was, you know, I'd sneak in. You know, mm-hmm. I'd have to sneak in. Mm-hmm. I'd sneak into a little jazz club here called A Tender Trap, and I would sit at Dizzy Gillespie's feet until they'd throw me out, you know?
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? In other words, those were the things that molded that drove my passion, my mm-hmm. hunger, lit the fire. I was to be able to see it and feel it. You know, it's one thing to sit in school and study and play, and you play with your big band, and that's all awesome, and they're really good. But to then see us the way that we do it, where we turn it into a full-blown performance and expression and, you know, great harmonies and arrangements, and I think it'd be good.
Well, Jerry, we've reached a point in our program where we're at the point like where Roshan Westmoreland plays his bass solo at the end.
Okay.
Right at the end of that.
Yeah.
Folks, if you see the show, you'll know what I'm talking about. Roshan Westmoreland and his bass solo. The night is Monday. The venue, Cabaret Jazz, 10:30 p.m., Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns. If you haven't seen them, you got to see them if you're a live music fan. And if you have, get back to them again. $25? Tickets for this thing?
I think they vary, but I'm not sure. But I think it's
around in that wheelhouse,
in that neighborhood.
And get on the Smith Center site quick because these will go fast. And Jerry, it's always a pleasure to talk to you in any forum and to see you in any context. And we'll do this again when you get booked back at the Smith Center.
Thank you, John. But I unless Trish is here, I'm just saying, you know.
All right,
Trish the Dish, Jerry Lopez.
You drive
John
a hard
Katz.
Bargain. Okay.
All right.
we'll
thank
do.
You.
We'll
thank
promise
you so much.
She'll be here. All right, brother.